And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's wild and wonderful. What's going to happen? We have no idea. Let's sit back and enjoy the ride. Can I get a Wowzer Bowser Wednesday? Because God is in charge of this crazy bus called The Christian Journey. First, I'm going to be honest in this introduction. I'm usually honest, so that's not really that much of an issue. But I'm going to preach a message, and I've preached it several times before. Let's say I'm going to teach it. But it's weighing on me. Now, that's what's important. It's like, okay, why is this particular message drawing me? Why am I being drawn to it? So the best thing that I can do when something is weighing on me is to share it as faithfully as possible. We're going to revisit Ephesians, a book that we have studied from start to finish in the past, but we're going to focus on an important section that I've recently had to counsel many people on. So biblical Christianity requires us to be strong in our walk, in our faith, in our commitment to Christ. It requires us to stand against the world and its system of evil. It requires us to stand against our flesh. It requires us to stand against the enemy, whose purpose for us in regards to us is to distract, deter, and discourage us from God. And we need to stand against that. In order to be ready and prepared every day, we need to use the principles that God has given us to stand against everything that comes against us. And we don't apologize for being Christians. Let me say that again. We don't apologize for being Christians. People of the world may not like us. They might not like it, but that's irrelevant. None of them have a heaven to put us in. And that is our goal. To spend eternity with God in his home. So more than ever, little campers, let's buckle up.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience, local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events, personal revelations, spiritual observations, my life's insanities, and oy vey, so much more. Hey, remember, it's not professional radio. It's just radio. You're lucky if there's two cans and a string. Here's what we're trying to tell you. We want to know what you think. Now, you can email us during the show. It really does work. I mean, I promise. It's not fast, but it does work. You can email us at david@hemustincrease.org. That's david@hemustincrease.org. You can text us at 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can call us. Ho-ho! 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. When you call 972-445-0770, you'll end up talking to Jammin' Jacob. Talking to Jammin' Jacob is like, get ready, eating your favorite leftovers.
Aww.
Oh, no, I'm hungry. Are you hungry?
Yes, I am.
Okay, now I'm hungry.
Even though I ate not too long ago.
I don't know, some things that are left, some things are just better than others, like when they're left over, and it's just like, I'm going to go right into this. I don't know what it is about this. It's just so weird.
Yeah, like, I don't know, some people, I still like pizza more when it's not leftovers, but it's still good.
It's still good leftover, right? Okay. See, what you don't want to really get into is if somebody makes a salad, and then they're eating the salad, and then there's salad left over, and then they take it and put it in the freezer. Okay.
Yeah, nope.
Yeah, just going to move on right from there. Okay, there you go. All right, that was a joke for people that don't get it. It was a very private joke. Here's the bottom line. The bottom line is if you've got a prayer request or a praise report, you need a word of encouragement, you want to share a word of encouragement, you want to be blessed, you want to bless somebody, whatever. You know what we want to do? We want to have Christian fellowship. Well, Dave, I'm not from your denomination. I'm not from my denomination. The reason I can say that is because I'm from multiple denominations and yet from no denomination. Here's how it goes. God the Father is my dad. The Lord Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. And the Holy Spirit is my comforter and my guider. And we all have the same Heavenly Father who are true Bible-believing, born-again Christians. That's why Jesus said, when you pray, say, Our Father. We are blood relatives, the blood of Jesus Christ, and we drink from one well, and that is the Holy Spirit, which he's the one who makes us well. That's what connects us. And so if you've got a praise report, if you've got a prayer request, bring it. That's what you want to do. That's what people need. They get involved in other people's lives. It increases their own Christianity, and they help in the process and share in the victories. We weep when others weep, and we rejoice when others rejoice. We also do other goofy things. We're going to do jokes today. You might as well get used to it because it's going to happen throughout the year. Plus, we're going to do some additional Bible trivia and history that cannot be missed. Let's do a Bible trivia right now. What is the book in the Bible that reports on Nebuchadnezzar's vision? So Nebuchadnezzar had a vision. What book in the Bible is that recorded in? If you think you know... 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. Additionally, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. Right now, we're going to head right into our DNA. D stands for Draw Closer to the Lord.
Daily.
Daily. I mean, daily. Every day you wake up is a daily. See how that works? That's how that works. Every day that you wake up, that's your daily. Okay, draw closer to the Lord daily. That is the answer to everything, everywhere, all the time, period, no matter what's going on. Way past the world's capacity to solve problems and bring about resolutions and bring about deliverances is God's capacity to do it. Oh, yeah. Draw closer to the Lord daily. D-N. Never. Be ashamed of Jesus or his words. Never. I was just reading today in Luke 18 how that Jesus told them about his up and coming death, burial, and resurrection. And it says that the disciples didn't get it. That didn't make it true. They didn't make it less true. They didn't get it. I understand. I don't understand everything there is. I'm just growing in the Lord, just like you are. We're growing together as a family. Anybody who says, I've made it, there's nothing for more to me to know, must be hanging out there with God right now, literally in heaven, I'm just saying. And then, so that's the N, never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. So D, draw closer to the Lord daily. N, never be ashamed of Jesus or his words. And then A, always be ready.
To serve.
Which means O. P.M. Other people matter, which is the nicest way of saying we need to be less self-centered. We need to be selfless, not selfish. Don't be fishy. Be less. Get it? Okay, that's our DNA. Back to the trivia, and then we'll get on to the next thing. The trivia question is pretty straightforward. What is the book of the Bible that reports on Nebuchadnezzar? I will now give you three choices. Is it Daniel, Ezekiel, or Jeremiah? Now you know it's one of the major prophets, right? Daniel, Ezekiel, or Jeremiah, which is the book of the Bible that reports on Nebuchadnezzar? You can call 972-445-0770. You can text 214-210-8483. Or you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. All those things are available. Into the Word of God we go. And I'm not going to lie, I'm pretty excited about this. I'm just telling you. I just hope I can get through it without, you know. Okay, here we go. Ephesians chapter 6. verse 10. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Ooh. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. That's Ephesians 6:10. Put on the full armor of God so you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Wow. How about this? Be strong. Get this. Some people are going to get offended. I ask you to forgive me that you got offended. Christians are not supposed to be weenies. We need to have courage. The righteous are as bold as a lion. The example of Jesus in the temple should suffice when he became a bouncer with the Pharisees. How about Romans 1:16? I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to the Jew first and then to the Gentile. It was the Jewish Defense League that asked Christians, stop witnessing to Jewish people. They're getting saved and they're not staying Jewish. Hey, pal, the reality is we're not going to stop proclaiming the truth because you can't keep your member numbers up. We're going to proclaim the truth because it's the truth, whether you like it or not. We're going to be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. That's what we're going to do. I don't understand why. No. You be strong in the Lord. It doesn't mean you be obnoxious. It doesn't mean you be rude. It means you be strong in the Lord. I mean, if you can't stand in your faith, you can't stand in anything. And we need to understand that. And there's times where you need to take a stand. Now, not all the time. I think it's very dangerous when Christians are, you always have to, you know, do this. No, you will talk about contending for the faith later on, but you don't always be obnoxious, especially on purpose. That's just bad attitude. That's just bad living. But you be strong in your faith. Nobody moves you from there. Who else has a heaven to put you in? Nobody. Well, you take care of that first. That's your responsibility. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Then the next verse, in verse 11, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Wait a minute, Dave. What are you trying to tell me? That the devil has schemes against me? Yes. Dave, I'm not that important. He's so good, he's got you thinking that. You're important because you've been touched by the blood of Jesus Christ. You are, in fact, his enemy because of that. In Revelation chapter 12, verse 7, when it talks about our understanding of the warfare, and I don't care where your eschatological position is, and actually it's verse 17, it says, the dragon was enraged with the woman and went off to make war with the rest of her children, those who keep the commandments of God and hold the testimony of Jesus. Well, do you keep the test? Do you keep the commandments of God? And do you hold the testimony of Jesus? If you do, you're at war. There's not brilliant theological about it. So that's just what it says. John 10:10, the thief comes not but to steal, kill, and destroy. I've come that they might have life and might have it more abundantly. Jesus is there to give abundant life. The thief is there to steal, to kill, and destroy. You're at war. And stop thinking you're not at war. You are at war. He's stealth about the war. He doesn't come and knock on your door and go, hi, I'm Satan, and I'm here to visit you and try and ruin your life. Can you make some room for me on the couch there? I'd like to just hang out with you. I mean, that's not how that goes. So we're supposed to be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power, and put on the full armor of God. We're going to talk about that in a minute. So that we can take our stand against the devil's schemes. I want you to understand something about that phrase, schemes. Listen to what I'm going to tell you. That Greek word schemes means, listen to this, this will blow your mind, a secret plan to achieve an evil end. That's a scheme. Like, what? A secret plan, is it a open to public plan? No. A secret plan to achieve an evil end. That's a scheme. And we need to take our stand against the devil's secret plans that are seeking to achieve evil ends. And I'll just say this because I'm on the roll and I can't stop doing it right now, and then I'll give you the trivia answer. What is Satan's favorite scheme? Ooh, he's got so many. What's his favorite scheme? 2 Corinthians 2:10-11. If you forgive anybody, I forgive them. If you have forgiven anything, I have forgiven it in the presence of Christ for your sake. Verse 11, in order that Satan should not outwit us, for we are not unaware of his schemes. Well, his biggest, most favorite scheme is to deny forgiveness. Wow! To deny forgiveness to who? For others? Wait. And for ourselves. Which is why you know the Lord's forgiven you for something, yet eerily you still seem to battle it in the back of your mind. Wow. How does that happen? Because there's a scheme to remove the power of that forgiveness in your life. Ouch! All right, let's do the triv question, and then we'll take our exit. Boy, that's just good stuff. I don't care what you tell me. Bottom line, the question that we asked is, what is the book of the Bible that reports on Nebuchadnezzar's vision? Is it Daniel, Ezekiel, or Jeremiah? And the answer is Daniel. It is the book of Daniel, chapter 2, verse 1 through 46. I could not tell you that because then you would get the answer immediately. Okay, if you didn't get that, write that down. Make sure you know it. We'll take a short break, then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
What is the David Spoon Experience? Imagine yourself on a rocket ship racing at 1,000 miles an hour into space. Once there, you can sense the power and the presence of the majestic and the divine. You forget about your troubles and your fears, and you just float in peace. Without a worry in the world. There are no struggles, no pain, no discomfort. It's soothing, calm, comfortable. But then, the show starts. And you realize that none of that stuff has anything to do with the show. What were you thinking? The David Spoon Experience. Only for the brave of heart and the bored.
The David Spoon Experience.
They were sisters?
That is correct, sir! You are right. And it's like I'm not saying, I don't want to, you know, say it, but like, yuck. That's all I can say. It's like, I'm sorry, that's all I can come up with. Like, yowza.
Well, he was tricked into it.
So. Yeah. I mean, I'm going to go with that. But I mean, if you're the two sisters, you just got to be thinking, now, wait a second here.
Can I tell a real quick joke?
I won't
take up much time, hopefully. I'll try to make it biblical, but not scriptural.
I'm with you. That's about 99% of everything we do on jokes. Trust me.
I figured you'd understand. Well, to set this up.
Okay.
To set this up, when I ask the question, you'll have to answer it to the first thing that pops into your head. Otherwise, it's kind of like those knock-knock jokes. You have to say knock-knock, you know, or who's there. So anyway, Paul was out in the Mediterranean Sea. He was sailing across it. And right before the storm hit, he was writing some letters. And he was sitting there writing, and one of the sailors came up and looked at him and said, "What are you doing?" He said, "Well, I'm writing some letters here." And Paul put down his quill and parchment and looked up at the sailor and decided this is a time to talk to him. He says, "Now here's the question, David, and this is where you have to answer.
Okay.
What is a pirate's favorite letter of the alphabet?"
And
the sailor said, "Nah, that would be the C, matey, the C."
That's a good one. So it's not the R. No, it's the C. It's the C, matey.
Hey, I love your show. Thanks for keeping it going.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you for being such a great brother and a great support. We appreciate you. Oh, welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Getting ready for your next trivia question. So this is a sneaky one. Okay. Did you hear what I said? This is a sneaky one. I'm telling you. All right. So just got to listen to the question and maybe use the reference. Might be a good idea. Here's your trivia question. How many of Joseph's brothers went to buy grain in Egypt? How many of Joseph's brothers went to buy grain in Egypt? Is it 6, 7, or 10? Wow. If you think you know, you can call us 972-445-0770. And by the way, the reference will be Genesis 42. Verse 3, Genesis 42, verse 3. So you can call in 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. As well, you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. So we are going to have somebody. We have somebody online. We're going to send them on through. So we'll give them a chance to answer that. It's a very, very straightforward question. Knock, knock, this is David. Who am I talking to?
Hey, David, Will. Hope you're doing great.
I'm doing great, Will. How are you doing?
I'm doing great, too.
That's great. I'm glad to hear that. I was so inspired by your story on the car. I had one of my own after that.
Yeah, I know. And the Lord blessed you, didn't he?
Yeah, just like he blessed you. It's like, yeah, I'll take God as my mechanic all day long, right?
Yep. Amen.
All right, here we go, bro. I'll set it up for you. I'll give you a chance to hit it out. How many of Joseph's brothers went to buy grain in Egypt? Was it 6, 7, or 10?
Well, on the first trip, it was 10.
That is correct, Amundo! And that's a great distinction. I probably should have made that distinction and rewrote that on that element. So that the only one that didn't go was Benjamin. So the other of the 12, the other 10 went, and Joseph was already there, and Benjamin wasn't there, so it left us with 10. That is brilliantly done, my friend. Excellent.
Yeah, then he told him to come back again and bring Benjamin.
That's right. Exactly. Exactly. In fact, phenomenal. And it's like, what a story. Although you get the impression that Joseph was like, I'd really like to take it and really make these guys suffer. But you know what I mean? It's almost like, you know, he wanted to do a little bit of extra stuff there. But it's like, I think the Lord was like, we have a mission here. Let's do the mission.
Well, I think his flesh may have wanted that, but his actions showed that he was really testing to see where they were.
Yep, yep. That's great, great point. I think one of my favorite things in that story, I got to tell you, just sharing between you and I, and everybody's listening, but I think when they were talking in Hebrew and didn't know that Joseph knew what they were saying, I just find that to be, like, hysterically amazing. Like they think they're talking in some kind of secret code, and then Joseph's like going, uh-huh, uh-huh. I just love that.
Yeah, reveal their hearts right to them without them realizing.
Exactly right. Exactly right. That just shows you who's really in charge. Excellent. Excellent call, my brother.
Yes, sir, and you have a blessed day,
all
sir.
Right. You too. God bless you, bro.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. All right. Phenomenal call. All right. I am going to do two quick jokes. Ready? Wait. That's the sheet of paper I'm doing it with. All right?
We'll be the judge of that.
Yes, well. That's probably true. Two quick jokes. Okay, I got to follow this one. Ready? The teacher to the student. The teacher asked Eddie the student, what happened in 1809? Eddie responded, Abraham Lincoln was born. The teacher said, right, that's great. Now, what happened in 812? Eddie responded, he turned 3 years old. Good one. Come on. That's hilarious. All right. Here we go. All right. History teacher. Who succeeded the first president of the United States? Student. The second one.
What do you want from me? I'm not a comedy writer.
There you go.
I did like the first one.
The first
one. I had a feeling where it was going, and I was hoping it went that way, and it did.
That's a pretty funny one. All right. Let's get back to the text. You're like, why do you do that? Hey, why not? Okay. Here we go. I always remember that Ziggy cartoon in the newspaper. So he's looking up to God, and he goes, why? Why? And then there's the next finger, God's finger's pointing back. He goes, why not? This is great. All right, so we just picked up on understanding what the scripture tells us, that we, in fact, need to be people who understand that we are in a spiritual war. We are in a contest, so to speak, on a regular basis, really. We're not going to lose the war, but there's many battles to be fought. So the scripture that we read, finally be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Verse 12, just so that I don't want you to miss that, of course, is that our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. While we have engagement with people, we often forget that there are influences behind those people that are demonic. And if you think that demonic powers aren't working there or worming their way in to authorities and powers and whatever the case may be, you're nuts. I mean, it's like all over the place. My biggest contention is if the Lord for a moment took off the cover on everybody's eyes, not only would you see the angels and the demons, but I would be amazed how many people would be shocked to find out that a lot of those demons might be in churches all around. And it's just like, that's just the reality. People are more connected in that way than you perhaps are aware. And I think it's important that what Paul's bringing up is, look, this is a serious struggle. You think it's just against people? This is against rulers and authorities and powers of this dark world. Okay? That's three separate entities within the dark world, and then spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. It's like, we don't even know the fullness of that. Here's what we know. It's real, it's happening, and we need to take a stand. So, by understanding that, the Holy Spirit leads Paul to give us seven principles. And I got to finish all seven in the next 30 minutes, so good luck to me. He says this, verse 13, therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, you'll be able to stand your ground. And after you've done everything, to stand. It's worth noting that he says stand multiple times. In fact, he says it three times in two verses, just so you can understand the importance of it. And the first thing he says is, stand firm then with the belt of truth. Now, I know people want to say, well, that's biblical truth, but that's wrong because you find out later biblical truth's coming. This is the belt of truth of aletheia, of being real, of being sincere, of no hypocrisy, of no self-deception. This is the truthfulness of, you've got to be true and not a phony. That's just what it is. It's like, well, that sounds mean. Yeah, this sounds mean. And I think you understand where it's going. There was a certain man named Ananias and his wife Sapphira sold some property. He brought part of the money to the apostles, claiming it was the full amount. With his wife's consent, he kept the rest. Then Peter said, Ananias, why have you let Satan fill your heart? You lied to the Holy Spirit and kept some of the money for yourself. The property was yours to sell or not sell as you wished. And after selling it, the money was also yours to give away. How could you do such a thing? You weren't lying to us, but to God. This is the key. Lying to God, trying to be something we're not, brings about death. Ananias and Sapphira were killed by God. Oh, New Testament after resurrection. Don't tell me it couldn't happen. It's just absurd. It's happened in Scripture. And so the big key in that is to understand. I think it's great to speak in a powerful, biblical, positive realm. Certainly stop speaking negatively about yourself. God commands that. In fact, the word self, he said to himself, is used 10 times in the Bible, 10, where it talks about people talking to themselves. We do that all the time. We sometimes just say the wrong things. But here's what you don't do. You don't walk around with a fake Jesus face. If it's not going well, say it's not going well. Well, that's a bad witness. No, a bad witness is lying about it. Now, if you have that in functionality and you're walking in real faith, that's different. But that's not what happens at church, and you know it. How you doing? Fine. How's everything going? Fine. That's the worst. Anytime somebody says, fine, fine, that's ding, 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 right? All right. Belt of truth. Number one, just be real. If it's going great, great. If it's going lousy, lousy. How's it going? That's how it's going, right? That's it. No hypocrisy, no self-deception. Jesus hated hypocrisy. I mean, hated with a passion. All right, we'll take our break, and then we'll come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the truth station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
The David Spoon Experience.
There was a pastor, now I use that word with some reservation, having been involved in ministry and having the privilege of planting seven churches throughout the United States and having three separate ordinations, I have a tremendous amount of respect for people who commit their lives into ministry. But whenever there's somebody on television or anywhere else that is a nut job, then I just call it like I see it. Okay, that's what I call it. Call it like I see it. On the Sean Hannity show, roughly about 2 weeks ago, a reverend, so-called Reverend Oliver White was on the show, and Reverend Wright said this, and I'm going to repeat it because some of these things are just unbelievable. He said that Jesus was wrong about marriage. At least he didn't have the audacity to say he never said anything about marriage. He said Jesus was wrong about marriage and that marriage should be more than between a man and a woman. And then he proceeded to say this statement, ladies and gentlemen. He said this. Now, this isn't even the thing that's irritating. Then he proceeded to say this. If Jesus were alive today, he said, he would say, I didn't know it all. This is a man who's supposed to be representing Jesus Christ as a minister. This guy's no minister. And if you want to say, well, that's judging, I'll take that judgment all day long. All day long, I'll take that judgment, no matter what anybody says. Here's a guy that says two things. One, Jesus was wrong about marriage. Two, if Jesus were alive today, any person who proclaims or professes to be a minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ and questions whether Jesus Christ is alive today or not is not a minister, but a false teacher. I don't care. I don't care if you like it. I don't care if you think that's mean. That's irrelevant. Facts are facts. And here's the thing that just overwhelms me. This overwhelms me, ladies and gentlemen. Any person who is in public office, now this goes with this, all three of these things go together. Any person who is in public office who changes their convictions about same-sex marriage because another family member has made a decision to go into the lifestyle of being gay or lesbian, any person who changes their convictions, their biblical Christian convictions, based on another family member changing their status into a gay or lesbian lifestyle, and then that person then changes their Bible convictions to accommodate their family member, is not fit to be a Christian. That's right. I said it. Sometimes
hallelujah. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the truth station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the truth station here in Texas. Getting ready for your next trivia question. After the trivia question, we'll send you to the website. We'll see if we have time for history because we have got to get this message in. Here it is. Let's see if you can get it. This is referenced in Genesis 3:8. Roughly, what time of day did God come to visit with Adam and Eve? Was it morning, noon, or evening? Roughly, what time of day did God come to visit with Adam and Eve? Was it morning, noon, or evening? If you think you know, you're welcome to reach out to us. Our number here, as soon as I find it, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483. Additionally, you can send an email, david at HeMustIncrease.org. I'm going to send you up to the website, as we do at this time. We want to encourage you. On the website is the interview I did with Roger Marsh. It's right on that front page. Roger is a radio legend, way past me. Okay, so just some dissent. So he's got his own. He's in San Francisco, L.A., San Diego, Denver, and like 10 other places. Wow, that guy's all over the place. Well, fun interview, though, that we had together. Really enjoyed him. So that's on the website. Plus, on the website, there are forms for you to do a praise report or a prayer request. That is available, plus an opportunity to give, which we hope you'll take advantage of. Check it all out on the website, HeMustIncrease.org.
Prayer request?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Praise report?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Looking to give to this ministry?
HeMustIncrease.org.
Confused by what's happening right now?
HeMustIncrease.org.
HeMustIncrease.org.
Toto, I have a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore.
I got family coming in on Thursday night and Friday. I just have a feeling that's going to be the line I'm using. That's all I'm going to say. With all that said, I'll repeat the trivia question. We'll do a brief history and then sailing it all the way because I got to finish this message. So I'm going to really pound it out. Roughly what time of day did God come to visit with Adam and Eve? Is that morning, noon, or evening? Your reference point, Genesis chapter 3, verse 8. If you think you know, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483 or send an email, David, at HeMustIncrease.org. Let's do history.
Let's go live it in the past.
All right, today, for those that don't know, is Houseplant Appreciation Day. So if you appreciate your houseplant, that's good. Okay, I don't do much on that, but, you know, Noel does.
Yeah, celebrate by appreciating your houseplants.
Yes, it's appreciate them, I guess. Okay, 1932 on this day, Mickey Mouse and Silly Symphony Comics was syndicated, so they went all over the place. 1984 on this day was the first commercial from Wendy's from Where's the Beef? Which aired the famous commercial starring 81-year-old Clara Peller, who said, "Where's the beef?" And just so you can know, Wendy's sales jumped 31% during that ad campaign. That's pretty good. And then for all of those who do not know and do not want you to do anything with this, especially those who are tend to do that, but in 19-blank-blank-blank, something or other, Noel Diane Hecox was born, ensuring the greatest happiness for the future Jewish Christian David Spoon, which is my way of saying it's my wife's birthday. Okay, there you go.
Happy birthday to her.
Yeah, happy birthday, Noel. But that's where the houseplant appreciation thing, that's where that comes from. Okay, I got to fire into this. This teaching is so important. If you can't get the trivia, I'm sure that Jacob will threaten me with a ping pong ball, and then I'll share it with you after that. But in the meantime, let's get into it right now. I want you to understand we've just done one principle about the belt of truth, which has to do with being real and sincere. It's not the biblical one. You'll see why in a little bit. The next thing Paul references after he talks about the belt of truth is this. He says, stand firm with the belt of truth buckled around your waist with the breastplate of righteousness in place. The breastplate of righteousness. What do you mean the breastplate of righteousness? The breastplate of righteousness is not your own righteousness. It's the breastplate of righteousness. You know what a breastplate was used for? It was used for when things got through and hit you directly. It's a bulletproof vest, so to speak. The only righteousness that can protect us when things get through is the righteousness of Jesus. That's what the breastplate of righteousness is. Our works can't save us. Only the righteousness of Jesus saves us. When you think the breastplate of righteousness is you doing good, you're in a ruh-roh situation. Don't do that. That's dependent on the Lord. Number one, be real. Number two, relying on the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Okay? Those are the two. And the question. So somebody want to ask the question again? What time of day did God come to visit with Adam and Eve? Morning, noon, or evening? That's the question. All right, so belt of truth. being real, being sincere. Breastplate of righteousness, the righteousness of Jesus Christ. The next thing he says is this, and your feet fitted with the readiness that comes with the gospel of peace. Your feet fitted with the readiness. Hey, here's one for you. Do you know where your feet go? Wherever you go. You see how that works? So wherever you go, because your feet are connected, you take with it the gospel of peace wherever you go. People are searching for peace. Did you know that? They're searching for peace. You take the gospel of peace with you wherever you go. And like we said the other day, you keep yourself available. Right? That's a key. You're ready for the Lord to use you. Why? You have the gospel of peace sitting in your heart. Got it right here. Oh, there's peace with God through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. You don't have to speak it well. You don't even have to think it well. You just have to be available because it's God's gospel. You understand? So there's the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness. Breast belt of truth is the sincere being real, no phoniness, no hypocrisy. And we'll explain why later. Breastplate of righteousness, righteousness of Jesus Christ, feet, the gospel of peace, that's wherever you go, right? And then, and you can't escape this, your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace, and in addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. So what you got to do is have in your brain what Paul's talking about. I want you to think about all those movies you've seen, all the funny and not funny movies where they shoot arrows, right? And those arrows are flaming arrows and they come and they hit people and they burn things and so on and so forth. Well, the shield of faith is like a shield that's made out of water that stays steady and steadfast. So when the flaming arrow of the enemy comes, it hits your shield of faith and the faith quenches the arrow. But it's like, wait a minute, the shield of faith. But the shield of faith, you take up the shield of faith because it breaks down the penetration of Satan. Now, here's something that'll blow your mind that people forget all the time. You can overcome the enemy in different tactical methods, but when he's shooting at you, you use faith because it destroys the doubt and the fear that he's shooting at you. And so you have to think of it. And I always think of it this way. I think of like a soldier, right? He's got all the armor and stuff. But the shield, instead of a gold shield, it's a shield of water, but it's steadfast. So when the arrow comes, you hold up that shield against the arrow, and it quenches the arrow. And the arrow is just there to get you, to try and, you know, penetrate, to do, you know, bad things to you, which is why, of course, you have the breastplate of righteousness, because it protects you if anything gets through. But you have to keep that shield up because it will shut down the arrows or the darts that the enemy is trying to throw at you. You're quenching Satan's zingers. You know, and what he does, he tries to get you to doubt God's reality and God's reliability. And you gotta go, no, the Lord has never failed me. Never. No way. And so you stand in faith, and you look at it, and you go, no. Well, it doesn't look very good. And that's what those darts do. They come in, and they try and create doubt, and they try and create that distance. Just what Satan did in the garden. There's nothing different. But faith quenches that power. And we need to operate in faith on an every single day basis. I just think of faith as manna. You don't save your faith for the future because it doesn't last that way. It's there for the day. Use your faith for today. That's just so important. Ooh, I can't stress how important that is. All right, let me answer the trivia question, and then we're going to finish up the rest because we still got more to go, so you know I got to kind of run through it. Here's your trivia question. Roughly what time of the day did God come to visit with Adam and Eve? Is it the morning, noon, or evening? And I'll explain to you why. It's the evening because the cool of the day is when the sun went down in the day and it's cooling off for the day. So between morning, noon, and evening, it is going to be in the evening. Look at Genesis chapter 3, verse 8. Go to Bible Hub and look at 15 different translations. You'll get a pretty good handle on it. We'll take our break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Since the dawn of the internet, people have been looking for a website they can be proud of without costing an arm or a leg. People want a quality website to promote their ministry, business, hobby, or passion. Introducing Cowpunch Sites. Cowpunch Sites can help you create and maintain a quality website. From design to security, Cowpunch does it all. Cowpunch is a family-owned and operated business, taking a fresh approach to business. Lots of clients at lower prices. Make mom happy.
The most significant benefit of working with Cowpunch Sites is that you work with real people, not cheesy templates. No outsourcing. It's $57 a month, and there's no setup fee and no cancellation fees. When you go to cowpunchsites.com/dad. That's cowpunchsites.com/dad. That's me. Oh, did I mention that it's $57 a month? Cowpunch Sites, $57 a month, and that's no bull.
Dave, this is a nice radio station.
Oops, sorry. That's Cowpunch Sites, $57 a month, and that's no baloney. There, that's better. Cowpunchsites.com/dad.
This KAAM radio show with your very own David Spoon is not a business, but a nonprofit ministry first and foremost committed to sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ and strategically equipping the saints. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Christian believers, the hurting, and those not yet believers who need biblical truths. To continue our radio ministry and message of truth, we need many of our faithful listeners to support us, as well as ministry partners who might wish to sponsor the He Must Increase ministry. By giving, you wonderfully facilitate our priorities of assertively teaching the Word of God, and you get nothing in return. No quid pro quo. Nothing but a receipt at the end of the year indicating you gave to us, since your donation is 100% tax deductible. Remember that it says in Corinthians that whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Or in Proverbs, where it teaches that a generous person will prosper, whoever refreshes others will be refreshed. But if you cannot give, no problem. Continue to enjoy and learn and give however you see fit whenever you can. To support us, go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. Such support is terribly appreciated, knowing it enables our beloved David Spoon to give to all of us his time, energy, like so few can. Right here on KAAM.
Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. That's KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas. Last trivia question. We got to do it very fast because I got to get to the rest of this text. It's really straightforward. Goliath was over 7, 8, or 9 feet tall. Which one? Your answer is in 1 Samuel 17:4. Goliath was over 7, 8, or 9 feet tall. Which one of those is over 7, 8, or 9 feet tall? Was it 7? Was it 8? Was it 9? Your answer, 1 Samuel 17:4. If you think you know the answer, 972-445-0770. You can also text in 214-210-8483, as well as you can send an email, david@hemustincrease.org. That is the trivia question. We're going to have to be kind of fast because I still got stuff to cover. And I know I'm not going to get to it fully, so let's we have a caller already. Let's send them on through. Knock, knock. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Hi, David. This is Joyanne, and I know the answer quick, and I know a birthday response.
Okay. All right. Here's the trivia question. We'll do it fast. Goliath, 7, 8, or 9 feet tall? Over.
Not over 9 feet. He was a tall man.
That is correct. That is right.
And even taller in estimation in my eyes is Noelle Spoon. We love that lady. Give her a birthday hug from all of us.
Absolutely. She got her present from her husband, and she's getting one from the dog, but she doesn't know it yet.
Oh, nice surprise. All right. Carry on. Thank you.
All right. God bless.
Bless you. All right. Bye-bye. Thank you.
They're fantastic. All right. Let's go back to this. So I got to do a quick recap and follow me, right? Be strong in the Lord. That's what we're supposed to be, right? Our struggle is not against flesh and blood. We're fighting against the enemy, and the enemy's against us. He's got schemes, which are secret plans to achieve an evil end. So Paul gives us 7 principles. Principle 1, belt of truth, which is being sincere, being real, no hypocrisy. Number 2, breastplate of righteousness. That's from Jesus Christ, in case anything gets through. Feet are shed with the gospel of peace. Wherever you go, take the gospel with us. Number 4 is shield of faith. And remember, without faith, it's impossible to please God, for those who come to God must believe that he is, and a rewarder of those who seek him. So when you're talking about the shield of faith, you're not only quenching the darts of the enemy. You think of a dart, like at a pub or something. They throw darts, like, those hurt, right? That's what the enemy's trying to do to you. You got to quench that, right? And not only does it do that, but it pleases the Lord that you operate in faith. Here's the next one, the helmet of salvation, which is the one I prefer to... I mean, I'd like to teach on this the whole way through. Here it is. The helmet, it says this in the text, so I want you to hear it. It says, take up the shield of faith, which you can extinguish the arrows of the evil one. Take up the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. That's how you know that the belt of truth isn't the word of God, because that comes later. But the helmet of salvation is simply this. A helmet protects your head. It's not complex. People wear bike helmets so in case they fall, though we never used to do that. The helmet protects our head, but in our case, it protects our minds. We protect our minds with what? The helmet of salvation. The security, the fun, the surety of our eternity is how you protect your mind. In the face of eternity, everything loses its power. That's why you have the helmet of salvation. It's our hope. It's our salvation. Who doesn't love that? It's phenomenal. It's fantastic. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. None of these are to be minimized, but come on. It's the word of God. It's the very breath of God. Jesus said, not by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. All scripture is God-breathed. 2 Timothy 3:16. Can God write a book? This is the first time I ever wrote that down, by the way, when I first originally did this. Can't God write a book? He can't write a book? I told that to somebody the other day. They just looked at me like, I didn't think of that. Like, he creates the universe. The dude can write a book. And we need the sword of the Spirit. And that, I know people, that's not the defensive sword. That's what the shield of faith is for. The sword is an offensive weapon in this case. This is what you attack with. You attack with the word. You don't just defend, you move forward. I mean, the church is not always supposed to be retreating. There's times where the church is a stronghold, but there's more times where the church is advancing. That's why they went out 2 by 2 under the command of Christ. And then he says this in verse 18, and pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. So people get all weirded out on this. It's like, and pray in the Spirit, with the Spirit, through the Spirit, under the Spirit, you know, alongside the Holy Spirit, always in everything, in every situation, in every place, pray, 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 pray. Prayer is oil for the armor. I mean, that just should make it as clear as possible. And this daily battle requires daily dependence on the Lord. So you see, so you're telling me every day I have to remember to be sincere, not full of hypocrisy, depend on the righteousness of Jesus, take the gospel of peace wherever I go, have my shield of faith in case the enemy throws darts at me, remember in my head my helmet of salvation, remembering security, fun, eternity in the Lord. Remember, heaven is not going to be best, it's going to be a blast. You say, well, how can you say heaven's going to be a blast? Because eye has not seen, neither has ear heard, neither has entered into the hearts of men the things which God has prepared. You can't even think about how good it is. So have a good time and think about the greatest thing you can possibly think of and recognize heaven is better. Now, how is that not fun and cool? And then we're supposed to have the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And we know we can't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And the word of God is what Jesus used to take Satan down. Like, wow. He quoted from Deuteronomy, all of it. Like, okay, I took care of him. Bye. And you know what's amazing? I'll just say this before you guys freak out. He didn't use the New Testament. There was no New Testament. He used the Old Testament. But see, nobody really functioned in the Word of God the way they were supposed to. So he gives you the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the feet of the gospel, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, and pray. The word and is in the Greek, actually. Pray, or alongside of pray. In, with, through, under the Holy Spirit, which is pray, pray, pray. Jesus even taught in Luke chapter 18, verse 1, that the disciples ought to pray and not lose heart. We're supposed to pray all the time. That's the oil. So you're thinking, gosh, what should I wear today? This. This is what we should wear every day. You're thinking, that's a lot to put on. If you don't put it on, the enemy will take advantage of you. That's a lot more to put up with than putting on the armor. Not getting dressed sets yourself up to get blasted. Why would you do that? That's like the Lord saying, here, I've given you these six tools. And you turn to the Lord and you go, nah, I only need two. You see, that's not the better part of wisdom. You see what I'm saying? So, this is a practical application on the armor of God for spiritual warfare. Be real. Depend on the righteousness of Jesus. Take the gospel of peace wherever you go. Have your shield of faith, which will fight, which will quench the enemy's darts. Have the helmet of salvation, which is the hope for eternal life. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, which is our authority. And pray, because you need oil for all of that. Pick that up every day, and you will have a more victorious life. And if you can't remember it all, listen to the podcast, and you'll hear it again. That's a way to do it, okay? All right, by the way, happy birthday to Gary as well. Let him know we said that. You've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Truth Station here in Texas, taking a 22.5-hour break. Then we'll come back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
Who knows when a broken heart will
The views expressed in the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.